Chapter 94. Speaking, and that she entertained confident expectations of presenting Mr. Clipkins with a knife, somewhere about that day 6 months. At this interesting point, the little judge interposed most irascibly, and the effect of the interposition was, that both the worthy lady and Mrs. Sanders were politely taken out of court, under the escort of Mr. Jackson, without further parley. Nathaniel Winkle. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Skimpin. Here. Apostrophe apostrophe replied a feeble voice. Mr. Winkle entered the witness box, and having been duly sworn, bowed to the judge with considerable deference. Don't look at me, sir, apostrophe said the judge sharply, in acknowledgement of the salute. Look at the jury. Apostrophe, Mr. Winkle obeyed the mandate, and looked at the place, where he thought it most probable the jury might be, for seeing anything in his then state of intellectual complication was wholly out of the question. Mr. Winkle was then examined by Mr. Skimpin, who, being a promising young man of 2 or 3 and 40, was of course anxious to confuse a witness who was notoriously predisposed in favor of the other side, as much as he could. Now, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Skimpin, have the goodness to let his lordship know what your name is, will you? Apostrophe apostrophe and Mr. Skimpin inclined his head on one side to listen with great sharpness to the answer, and glanced at the jury meanwhile, as if to imply that he rather expected Mr. Winkle's natural taste for perjury would induce him to give some name which did not belong to him. Winkle, apostrophe replied the witness. What's your Christian name, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe angrily inquired the little judge. Nathaniel, sir. Apostrophe, Daniel, any other name? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Nathaniel, sir, my lord, I mean. Apostrophe, Nathaniel, Daniel, or Daniel, Nathaniel. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, my lord, only Nathaniel, not Daniel at all. Apostrophe, what did you tell me it was Daniel for, then, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the judge. I didn't, my lord, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle. You did, sir, apostrophe replied the judge, with a severe frown. How could I have got Daniel on my notes, unless you told me so, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe this argument was, of course, unanswerable. Apostrophe Mr. Winkle has rather a short memory, my lord, apostrophe interposed Mr. Skimpin, with another glance at the jury. We shall find means to refresh it, before we have quite done with him, I dare say. Apostrophe, you had better be careful, sir, apostrophe said the little judge, with a sinister look at the witness. Poor Mr. Winkle bowed, and endeavored to feign an easiness of manner, which, in his then state of confusion, gave him rather the air of a disconcerted pickpocket. Now, Mr. Winkle, apostrophe said Mr. Skimpin, attend to me, if you please, sir, and let me recommend you, for your own sake, to bear in mind his lordship's injunctions to be careful. I believe you are a particular friend of Mr. Pickwick, the defendant, are you not? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have known Mr. Pickwick now, as well as I recollect at this moment, nearly apostrophe, pray, Mr. Winkle, do not evade the question. Are you, or are you not, a particular friend of the defendant's? Apostrophe apostrophe, I was just about to say, that apostrophe, will you, or will you not, answer my question, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, if you don't answer the question, you'll be committed, sir, apostrophe interposed the little judge, looking over his notebook. Come, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Skimpin, yes or no, if you please. Apostrophe, yes, I am, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle. Yes, you are. And why couldn't you say that at once, sir? Perhaps you know the plaintiff too? Eh, Mr. Winkle? Apostrophe, I don't know her, I've seen her. Apostrophe, oh, you don't know her, but you've seen her? Now, have the goodness to tell the gentlemen of the jury, what you mean by that, Mr. Winkle. Apostrophe, I mean, that I am not intimate with her, but I have seen her, when I went to call on Mr. Pickwick, in Goswell Street. Apostrophe, how often have you seen her, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, how often? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, Mr. Winkle, how often? I'll repeat the question for you a dozen times, if you require it, sir. Apostrophe. And the learned gentleman, with a firm and steady frown, placed his hands on his hips, and smiled suspiciously to the jury. On this question there arose the edifying brow-beating, customary on such points. First of all, Mr. Winkle said it was quite impossible for him to say how many times he had seen Mrs. Bartle. Then he was asked if he had seen her 20 times, to which he replied, certainly more than that. Apostrophe. Then he was asked whether he hadn't seen her 100 times, whether he couldn't swear that he had seen her more than 50 times, whether he didn't know that he had seen her at least 75 times, and so forth. The satisfactory conclusion which was arrived at last, being that he had better take care of himself and mind what he was about. The witness having been by these means reduced to the requisite ebb of nervous perplexity, the examination was continued as follows. Pray, Mr. Winkle, do you remember calling on the defendant Pickwick at these apartments, in the plaintiff's house in Goswell Street, on one particular morning, in the month of July last? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I do. Apostrophe, were you accompanied on that occasion by a friend of the name of Tubman, and another by the name of Snodgrass? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I was. Apostrophe, are they here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, they are, apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle, looking very earnestly towards the spot where his friends were stationed. Pray attend to me, Mr. Winkle, and never mind your friends, apostrophe, said Mr. Skimpin, with another expressive look at the jury. They must tell their stories without any previous consultation with you, if none has yet taken place, another look at the jury. Now, sir, tell the gentlemen of the jury what you saw on entering the defendant's room on this particular morning. Come, out with it, sir. We must have it, sooner or later. Apostrophe. The defendant, Mr. Pickwick, was holding the plaintiff in his arms, with his hands clasping her waist. Apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle with natural hesitation, and the plaintiff appeared to have fainted away. Apostrophe. Did you hear the defendant say anything? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I heard him call Mrs. Bartle a good creature, and I heard him ask her to compose herself, for what a situation it was, if anybody should come, or words to that effect. Apostrophe. Now, Mr. Winkle, I have only one more question to ask you, and I beg you to bear in mind his lordship's caution. Will you undertake to swear that Pickwick, the defendant, did not say on the occasion in question, my dear Mrs. Bartle, you're a good creature, compose yourself to this situation, for to this situation you must come, or words to that effect? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I didn't understand him so, certainly, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, astounded on this ingenious dovetailing of the few words he had heard. I was on the staircase, and couldn't hear distinctly. The impression on my mind is apostrophe. The gentlemen of the jury want none of the impressions on your mind, Mr. Winkle, which I fear would be of little service to honest, straightforward men, apostrophe, interposed Mr. Skimpin. You were on the staircase, and didn't distinctly hear, but you will not swear that Pickwick did not make use of the expressions I have quoted? Do I understand that? Apostrophe, no, I will not, apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle, and down sat Mr. Skimpin with a triumphant countenance. Mr. Pickwick's case had not gone off in so particularly happy a manner, up to this point, that it could very well afford to have any additional suspicion cast upon it. But as it could afford to be placed in a rather better light, if possible, Mr. Funky rose for the purpose of getting something important out of Mr. Winkle in cross-examination. Whether he did get anything important out of him will immediately appear. I believe, Mr. Winkle, apostrophe, said Mr. Funky, that Mr. Pickwick is not a young man? apostrophe apostrophe oh no apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle, old enough to be my father. Apostrophe, you have told my learned friend that you have known Mr. Pickwick a long time. Had you ever any reason to suppose or believe that he was about to be married? Apostrophe apostrophe oh no, certainly not. Apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle with so much eagerness that Mr. Funky ought to have got him out of the box with all possible dispatch. Lawyers hold that there are two kinds of particularly bad witnesses, a reluctant witness and a too willing witness. It was Mr. Winkle's fate to figure in both characters. I will even go further than this, Mr. Winkle, apostrophe continued Mr. Funky, in a most smooth and complacent manner. Did you ever see anything in Mr. Pickwick's manner and conduct towards the opposite sex to induce you to believe that he ever contemplated matrimony of late years, in any case? Apostrophe apostrophe oh, no, certainly not, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle. Has his behavior, when females have been in the case, always been that of a man who, having attained a pretty advanced period of life, content with his own occupations and amusements, treats them only as a father might his daughters? Apostrophe apostrophe, not the least doubt of it, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle, in the fullness of his heart. That is yes oh, yes certainly. Apostrophe, you have never known anything in his behavior towards Mrs. Bartle, or any other female, in the least degree suspicious. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Funky, preparing to sit down, for Sergeant Snubbin was winking at him. No, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle, except on one trifling occasion, which, I have no doubt, might be easily explained. Apostrophe, now, if the unfortunate Mr. Funky had sat down when Sergeant Snubbin had winked at him, or if Sergeant Buzzfuzz had stopped this irregular cross-examination at the outset, which he knew better than to do, observing Mr. Winkle's anxiety, and well knowing it would, in all probability, lead to something serviceable to him, this unfortunate admission would not have been elicited. The moment the words fell from Mr. Winkle's lips, Mr. Funky sat down, and Sergeant Snubbin rather hastily told him he might leave the box, which Mr. Winkle prepared to do with great readiness, when Sergeant Buzzfuzz stopped him. Stay, Mr. Winkle, stay. Apostrophe apostrophe said Sergeant Buzzfuzz, will your lordship have the goodness to ask him what this one instance of suspicious behavior towards females on the part of this gentleman, who is old enough to be his father, was? Apostrophe apostrophe, you hear what the learned counsel says, sir, apostrophe observed the judge, turning to the miserable and agonized Mr. Winkle. Describe the occasion to which you refer. Apostrophe, my lord, apostrophe said Mr. Winkle, trembling with anxiety, I'd rather not. Apostrophe, perhaps so, apostrophe said the little judge, but you must. Apostrophe, amid the profound silence of the whole court, Mr. Winkle faltered out that the trifling circumstance of suspicion was Mr. Pickwick's being found in a lady's sleeping apartment at midnight, which had terminated, he believed, in the breaking off of the projected marriage of the lady in question, and had led, he knew, to the whole party being forcibly carried before George Nupkins Esquire Magistrate and Justice of the Peace, for the borough of Ipswich. You may leave the box, sir, apostrophe said Sergeant Snubbin. Mr. Winkle did leave the box, and rushed with delirious haste to the George and Vulture, where he was discovered some hours after, by the waiter, groaning in a hollow and dismal manner, with his head buried beneath the sofa cushions. Tracy Tubman and Augustus Snodgrass were severally called into the box. Both corroborated the testimony of their unhappy friend, and each was driven to the verge of desperation by excessive badgering. Susanna Sanders was then called, and examined by Sergeant Buzzfuzz, and cross-examined by Sergeant Snubbin. Had always said and believed that Pickwick would marry Mrs. Bartle, knew that Mrs. Bartle's being engaged to Pickwick was the current topic of conversation in the neighborhood, after the fainting in July, had been told it herself by Mrs. Mudberry, which kept a mangle, and Mrs. Bunkin, which clear starched, but did not see either Mrs. Mudberry or Mrs. Bunkin in court. Had heard Pickwick ask the little boy how he should like to have another father. Did not know that Mrs. Bardell was at that time keeping company with the baker, but did know that the baker was then a single man, and is now married. Couldn't swear that Mrs. Bardell was not very fond of the baker, but should think that the baker was not very fond of Mrs. Bardell, or he wouldn't have married somebody else. Thought Mrs. Bardell fainted away on the morning in July, because Pickwick asked her to name the day. Knew that she, witness, fainted away stone dead, when Mr. Sanders asked her to name the day, and believed that everybody as called herself a lady would do the same, under similar circumstances. Heard Pickwick ask the boy the question about the marbles, but upon her oath did not know the difference between an alitor and a commony. Apostrophe, by the court. During the period of her keeping company with Mr. Sanders, had received love letters, like other ladies. In the course of their correspondence Mr. Sanders had often called her a duck, apostrophe but never chops, nor yet tomato sauce. Apostrophe he was particularly fond of ducks. Perhaps if he had been as fond of chops and tomato sauce, he might have called her that, as a term of affection. Sergeant Buzfuzz now rose with more importance than he had. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.